Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruthie C. This half hour is presented by Gulf Coast Air Care, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Good morning. You are listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. My name is Ruthie, and I am so excited to welcome you on this Wednesday morning. And we are here this morning with Gulf Coast Air Care, and I'm very excited to welcome Todd. Welcome.
Hey, Ruthie, how are you? It's nice to meet you.
Well, it's so nice to meet you, too. It's nice to be in person and see your face.
Yeah. Well, through all these plexiglass things we got going
yes,
on here,
through
it's all
the
good.
Safety measures. Yes. Well, I am so excited to get to know you this morning and chat with you and to learn some more about our indoor air quality.
Well, you know, we kind of have a topic that we like to help people understand what's going on in their indoor environment. And to do that, we are going to start on your education as a building scientist. So if you're ready, buckle up and we'll get started. We work with Bridget. We worked with, she's going to kill me.
Wendy
before. And, they came up to speed on, so they were all understanding like, oh, I understand what's going on in the indoor environment. So, at Gulf Coast Air Care, we help people with, healthy buildings, comfortable buildings, and energy efficient buildings. And we do that as licensed heating and air conditioning contractors. We do, a lot of kind of niche kind of things. I mean, we're not a traditional contracting company in the sense that, you know, we don't do a ton of change outs. We do a lot of duct clean. We do a lot of tweaking of buildings that are, they're kind of goofed up. They're screwed up buildings. And so we get these calls and, they're like, we got this going on. We got that going on, humidity issues and everybody's sick in the building and we got dust everywhere. And a lot of that, the occupants, the homeowners, the people that are in the indoor environment can help themselves. And then there's a lot of it where they need professionals like us to kind of come in and sort out and help. We help a lot of people like, I need so much done. I got to prioritize. And so that's what we do. We come in from Gulf Coast Air Care and we'll help you prioritize like, okay, think about the attic insulation. Think about the duct system. Think about the filters, think about the moisture and all that. And, so it's kind of a sorting game. And I've made the analogy oftentimes about an equation, and we try and keep everything in balance. When you get one little thing in balance, you just, all of a sudden it's like, oh, there's mold growing everywhere. So
yes. And I imagine that, especially where we live in the world, this probably is something that people need a lot of help with. I'm thinking I already could think through, I don't even know where to start.
Well, are you a Pensacola girl or did you come from another climate or tell me a little bit of your background.
Sure. Well, so I did grow up on the Gulf Coast.
Okay,
I'm from
cool.
Walton County originally.
Oh, all right.
And
good,
so
good.
Very familiar with the.
So you were heartbroken when the Red Bar went too, although you're probably too young to go to the Red Bar from many years back, right?
Well, yeah, our parents
but you know
brought
where
us
it was.
To the Red Bar. Yes, yes. No, I love those guys. Great family, great friends. And so, yes, that was sad. But
so you're familiar with our humidity because, the way we treat indoor environments and buildings here is way different than they do in Ohio and Colorado and California and, just different places because it's humid here all the time and we deal with these comfort and these humidity issues all the time. So, but I'm glad to know that you're from the Gulf Coast. That's awesome.
Yes.
I've lived here 32 years. The Navy originally brought me to town and I bounced between here and Colorado. And then, so we've been here a long time. I've owned Gulf Coast Air Care for 26 years.
Okay.
And so I'm just now starting to get this thing figured out.
Hey, that's good. That's good. Well, that's it. Actually, I lived in Colorado briefly, so I love to hear you say
awesome.
Colorado.
Yeah, that's it.
Not that Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
That's a little different.
Colorado.
But yeah, talk about a different climate. I'm sure it'd be a whole other set of priorities.
It's definitely different. And, so we want to encourage people, if you have questions or concerns, you can call us at the office, 850-934-2768. Our office is in Gulf Breeze. We have been in Gulf Breeze. We're licensed in Florida and in Alabama. And we kind of focus on the Florida panhandle. The issues here are fairly well known to me. I mean, we figured out what you know, is common, what we commonly see, which mold is a lot of it, and that makes for buildings that are not healthy or not, they're not good for the occupants inside. And, you know, so we can help you with that. We have a website. It's GulfCoastAirCare.com. Feel free to go to the website. And like I said, Vanessa is at the office. She's taking care of the phone and steering the ship, so to speak. And we'll just, be happy. If you have a question you want to text in or call, 437-1620.
Yes, please do. Let us know.
Well, you know, we've taken some texted questions on occasion. So we're just happy to, talk about what's going on. So right now, and a lot of the things that we talk about are weather driven, mm-hmm. and we're back to this steamy, hot end of the summer, and that going on outside has an effect on the inside. It
yes.
truly, truly does. I mean, there are just, so many issues with, if you have a house, you have an office space that's leaky, mm-hmm. all that humidity and all that temperature finds its way in because, the principles of science are we're going from wet to dry mm-hmm. and from warm to cold. I mean, that's the way stuff moves. And it's always cooler in the house. It's 75 right now. And if you're out there looking at that thermostat and you're tempted to bump that thing down to 70 degrees today, don't do it. You're going to get to a dew point situation. You're going to get to a mold situation. The hardest thing that I have, Ruthie, is trying to convince people to run their thermostat at a temperature that doesn't get them in trouble with vents sweating.
I see.
I mean, I have
okay.
some stuff later today that, the vents are all sweating. And, there's a combination of things going on with the ductwork. I'm not Italian, but I talk with my hands. Ruthie, you'll see this going over here. So,
I love it.
Anyways, yeah, I do all my little, equation type things and all that kind of stuff. So, but I have a face suited more for radio, I think. So, anyways,
you and me both.
We talk about a lot of different things, and the one thing that if I could say, people ask me all the time, well, what's the issue? What's the major thing?
Mm-hmm.
So here, the comfort issues and the health issues are all driven by moisture. So the humidity, the mold, the comfort issues, and then the air conditioner trying to account for that, which runs your power bill up, all of those are because of moisture.
Mm.
And I just go around telling everybody that my business is all about gaps, cracks, and holes.
Oh.
We're filling yeah. up gaps, cracks, and holes. We got to identify them mm-hmm. for the most part. And then we try and fill them in or try and adapt to gaps, cracks, and holes because moisture is coming in. And if enough moisture comes in, it causes mold or mildew problems. And then moisture makes humidity going up and all that. So.
And
what do you got?
That fits in really nicely with this text message question.
Oh.
So this individual wants to know, I was walking in the kitchen and noticed my hardwood floor starting to cup.
Ooh.
What can I do to prevent this from continuing?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things going on. If you're off grade, so in other words, if you're not on a slab, what's happened is the moisture is getting in those hardwood floors, and it's causing them to cup or flex up or whatever. One of the things that's happening is whichever way the hardwood, that slat bends, it's pointing towards the water. So if it bends this way, the water's coming from down below.
I see.
And if you're on a slab, well, you probably got some groundwater issues or you've got some humidity issues that are coming into the house. If you're off grade, you've probably got gaps, cracks, and holes, which are going down to that crawl space. And trust me, some of these old houses we go in North Hill and East Hill,
mm-hmm.
I can't fit in there. I keep a couple of skinny guys as helpers and assistants and guys that have been on the team long term, and they can fit into some of these places. But there's some of them you can't get under there.
Wow.
And so, to try and solve some of those problems, it really sometimes is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And, so that's one of the things and that's a primary indicator. That's an indication that there's a moisture issue, there's a humidity issue, and it's pretty significant when your hardwood floors start to cup or start to kind of turn up or whatever. I think one of the most important things for that customer, if you're out there listening, is get a humidity monitor
mm-hmm.
and monitor your humidity. And I didn't bring one, but I will get you a hygrometer. And then so when we go forward. We're going to meet three times this month because we're on. There's three Wednesdays where I'm going to be on this week, so or this month. So we'll get you started with a hygrometer. You can take it home and measure your humidity. But I want everybody to know that the comfort level for good humidity and a healthy building is 40 to 50% relative humidity. If you're above 60, you end up with issues like microbial growth, cupping wood floors, you know, and that could be localized just under the kitchen. It could be a plumbing leak because, you know, she said in the text or they said in the text that the water is, you know, the floors are leaking in the kitchen. So sometimes we find issues where they're localized. Like in one room, we have this odor in one room. We have this one hot room.
Yeah.
Or we, you know, the upstairs is not right compared to the downstairs. So that's a kind of a localized issue. Like, do you get this smell everywhere? No. Well, I think you got a dead rat in that end of the house, you know. Or yeah, the, you know, the ductwork has been sweating at one end of the house and it's causing a moisture issue, which causes a musty odor or whatever. Mm-hmm. Where if it's throughout the entire house, then we think, well, you know, maybe we need to clean the air conditioner and all the ductwork because it's passing through the whole duct system all the way throughout the house.
And how does that work? So if someone does notice that musty odor, it is throughout the house, what are some of the solutions that could help?
Yeah, you know, I think the first thing is identifying the odor. That's the most important thing. So, and we ask questions like, okay, have you had any changes to your air conditioning system? Has it been cooling? I mean, we're into September now. How did you do through July and August? Were you cooling okay? Or did you have any kind of issues? Have you had renovations? Has anybody been in the attic lately? You know, so we kind of go on this fact-finding mission when we get to that point. And then, so if we're chasing an odor, we want you to describe the odor to us. Like, what does it smell like to you? Oh, it's just a sour, musty smell, and I get it when the air conditioner kicks on. Man, that cues me right in where to go. And look, Ruthie, I know, you know, after all these years, I know exactly where to look. And you'll get buildup on the evaporator coil. The air conditioner, during the summertime, that coil's wet all the time. You know, so there's a source of moisture there. And when you get those musty odors, that's a byproduct of something growing in there. So, you know, and we when we get musty odors or when we get microbial growth, the mold word is just a scary word legally and in a sense that, you know, if you look up mold on the internet, oh my God, you can get scared to death about what's going on there.
Yes.
So we use in our industry, in our terminology, we use suspect microbial growth. You really can't say mold until somebody with some sort of credential tests it and identifies it as mold. Although it, I mean, there are black spots everywhere. It looks like mold, smells like, you know, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck. So.
Yeah.
Anyways, so we use some terminology that is different than the way other people talk. So when we have microbial issues, and we've already established that most of those are driven by moisture, we really can't control the moisture all the time. I mean, it's humid here in Pensacola on the Gulf Coast.
It's just where we are in the
Walton
world.
In County. I mean, it's the same in Grayton Beach as it is over in Perdido Key.
It is.
It's humid. So one of the things we do is we treat one of those deals that is the source of the problem. So in other words, the ultraviolet light, I gave you that brochure, the purple light. So we have been doing a ton of that with the COVID pandemic and everything. There was a not very well put together piece recently from the CDC that said, oh, the air conditioner is, you know, causing, well, that person was not a mechanical person. That was not well researched. And I read the paper that they put out in the statement and all that. However, there is a infinitesimal likelihood that virus could survive in a wet air conditioner coil. And so along with some of the hysteria, we have been able to help people with microbial issues by using the ultraviolet light. And so you can see there that ultraviolet light is the C-band of UV light. So A and B is what you get when you go to the beach. You don't use sunscreen. A and B ultraviolet is what burns your skin. Mm-hmm. That's where you come back beet red, blister, you peel.
Yeah,
you know, all
don't
that.
Do that.
Right, not good. Use your sunscreen. The C band of UV light, which is generated also by a component of the sun, but also by this artificially by the bulb, it kills on a cellular level. So if you put that ultraviolet light over that evaporator coil that's wet all summer long. I mean, the evaporator coil inside the unit, that's the thing that makes the cooling. Mm-hmm. But the perfect storm's going inside that air conditioner because it's wet, it's dark, it's the right temperature to grow stuff. You get particulate that gets through the filter. And, I mean, so you got a lot going on there. So our solution that is effective for virus as well as microbial issues and all kinds of other particulates that you know, biological particulates that can get grown in there, you mm-hmm. put the ultraviolet light on there, and it just kills everything. And, you know, so that's been one of those solutions that's been, you know, kind of widely renowned. Now, go and try and buy a UV light right now. I've been waiting for months. I have some in stock now, but, I mean, we sold a bunch early on in March, April, May. Then we waited. Then we had some more in June. Then we waited, you know, because there's a mad rush on all these high-end filtration, all these high-end treatments like ultraviolet lights and all that. They're in demand everywhere. So, you know, it was hard for us to find a source that was continuous without having a back order issues, because they're supplying everywhere in the country, regardless of that humidity and that climate. Like everybody in the summertime, it's humid in Milwaukee right now. It's not going to stay that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're dealing with the same kind of thing, the same indoor air quality issues and air conditioner issues, but they only deal with them for a couple months up there where, you know, I've been known to run my air conditioner on Christmas Day.
It's
New Year's
a way of
Day,
life here.
Like, oh, it is. I mean, you know how it is. So
yes.
Some years you got the heater going. And I saw earlier this year where we had people that were running the heater and then had the unit off. And then in the afternoon it warmed up and they were running the air conditioner all in the same day.
Oh, my gosh.
And that creates some issues just from the fact that, you're riding this roller coaster with your air conditioner and your comfort system. You know, the ductwork's got stuff in it. Then when you run the heater, it bakes everything. It dries it out. Then you turn the air conditioner back on. Everything gets wet. It's just like, oh, man. We have a host of issues going on with just everything that's happening.
So. Sure. So let me ask. So I do a fluctuation throughout the day. Normally in the daytime, this time of year, we bump it up to about 74, 75.
There you go. Good, good. All right.
We are the people, though, who really bump it down at night, usually around like 71, 72.
Absolutely.
Are we harming anything? It's a brand new system.
No, so you're not really hurting anything too awful bad. Everybody wants to bump down at night because you want to sleep when it's a little cooler and comfortable. The heat load from the sun goes away, so the air conditioner's not running. When the air conditioner runs, it drives the temperature down. It also, by default, drives the humidity down to some degree. Well, at night, the air conditioner's not necessarily going to come on unless you bump it down a little bit. So if you don't bump down, that humidity creeps up, and then you're not comfortable. It's like,
it's just sticky.
Get up and stumble in the hallway in the middle of the night, and you're hitting that thermostat. Yes. You know, it's like, it's hot and sticky in here. So a lot of people, you're not alone, and I'm guilty of doing it. I bump down 1 or 2 degrees at night, but, you know, I bump down to 75. We have a whole house dehumidifier at my house.
Okay.
And we run at 44% all year long. And when you come in from outside, working in the garden, I have an unbelievable pandemic garden this year because I spent so much time at home. And,
yes.
You know, the weather was really nice in March and April. So, but you go outside and work in the garden, and then you come in. If your humidity level is right and you come in and it's less than 79 or 80 degrees, it's freezing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's distinctly cold.
Yeah.
So that's going on in the day. So at night, I'm bumping down to 75. And, you know, look at me. I'm part polar bear. So, you know, I grew up in Colorado thinking that I would ever live in a house in Florida at 76 or 77, 78 degrees. And it's all about the humidity.
So that's what it comes back to. More, because that's not your air conditioner's job, right? Like, that is where the dehumidification
comes in. The air conditioner does, and that's a great point that you make. The air conditioner, on average, is about 75, 25. And some of them are worse, and some of them are a little better. And I'm going to explain that. So 75, 25, your regular, fairly new, within the last 5, 6, 8 years, air conditioner, 75% of the work that it's doing is temperature work.
Mm-hmm.
And 25% of the work it's doing is humidity work. So there's that indicator of, by default, you get some dehumidification. So if you put a system in there that is dedicated to taking the moisture out, it takes the load off the air conditioner. It makes the indoor environment so much more comfortable. And that's why we tell everybody, monitor humidity, because humidity is something that it drives the microbial issues. It drives the comfort issues, you know, and it drives the power bill up if it's really high.
Yes, that's so, the other thing, right? If you could save some money. And speaking of that, we've got another question.
Oh, all right, good. Let's go.
So this person says, I am terrible about changing my air filter. Ooh. What should I buy so I don't have to change it that often?
Well, I don't know if you've ever heard this, Ruthie, but if you don't have a good air filter, you are one.
Yes.
And, you know, I could say that. Bridget, I mean, she knew the fill-in line and all that. So, good filtration is subjected to how big the return size is. So if you have a really small opening and you try and put a really high-end filter in it, it's, let's see, what's my analogy? To make an analogy, so it's like trying to run and breathe through a coffee straw. So the return needs to be sized appropriately. And then, you know, we have the AirSafe filter. I brought this, you know, as a... and you can see this is my little prop that I bring along with me. So this is a changeable filter media right here. And the next time when we get on the air, I'm going to let you describe this better.
Okay.
And Bridget did that one time. People are like, they called us. They said, oh, we want one of those filters that Bridget was talking about on the air. So, and it was awesome. So if you decide that there's anything that has triggered any information that you need or you need to talk to us, call us at 850-934-2768. Our website is GulfCoastAirCare.com. To finish on the filter question, you got to change it on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of these filters out there at the big box store. This is a 90-day filter. They do not make 90 days. Especially if you have smooth floor and pets or kids in the traffic area, that filter will not make 90 days.
That was my next question. I've got a golden retriever
on top of all that. And he leaves some hairballs around for doesn't he? Yeah. So, you know, one of those 3M Ultra Pleat filtered. Jeez, I'm falling apart here. One of those 3M Ultra Pleat filters will not make 90 days. You're going to have to change it more frequently. And, you know, one of the things about this filter is this gasketed seal around here. So filtration is important in the fact that if your unit is sized correctly, you can run any filtration that you want in there. But the key is you got to change it on a regular basis. It's really, really important.
And is that like once a month or depends on how much
you recommend
on
this one is once a month. You know, and this one's got an indicator. You pull this corner back and you can see where it's dirty or clean or and it'll indicate to you what time you should change the filter.
Okay.
So, and filtration is something that's easy for the homeowner to do. You can make your life so much easy by finding your drain line and knowing what good filtration to put in. And, you know, if you keep up with those two things, you're not going to need me to come in and do a major overhaul or renovation on your air conditioning system. Certainly, you want to have an inspection done at a minimum every year. You know, in a couple months, we're going to be going into that change where we go from cooling to heating, I hope. I don't know. This weather is crazy.
Right. We'll see.
So, but, you know, once a year, you need to have somebody look at the air conditioner because if it's dirty, it's dropping in efficiency. And, you know, the filtration is just going to be a hindrance if you're not starting from a good point.
So as I'm learning as a new first-time homeowner, this is just part of the part of the chores, something you just got to do, better to do up front than wait till it becomes an issue.
Yeah, I call it the honey-do list. You know, we go out and talk to people. It's like, oh, that's my husband's job. Oh, my wife always takes care of that. It's like, okay, well, as long as somebody's doing this, you know, filtration is a good thing because if you don't have a good air filter,
You are one.
There we go. Man, she's a quick study. I'm telling you what, y'all. This is awesome. So
awesome. Well, and if people did have a question, what's the best way?
Call us at the office at 934-2768. We're in Gulf Breeze. And we're on the World Wide Web at GulfCoastAirCare.com. This has been so much fun, Ruthie.
Thank you so much for joining me, Todd. I appreciate it. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And you are listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel, News Radio 92.3. I'm Ruthie C.